a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Because it is time to start our live to air. I'm here with the wonderful Alex.
Kia ora.
And Zach.
Hello.
They are of the duo Naho Tene, and they are performing at the wonderful Pearl Diver next week. Three dates. What are the days again? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday 17th, Wednesday 18th, and Saturday 21st next week.
Yeah. They are a completely improvised bilingual performance. Like, that's how you do your songs. And yeah, each of those ones followed by a different band, different closer each night. Yeah, so you're here to give us a taste of what you got. We've got them two in the studio at the moment. We're kind of doing the best with our microphones. But yeah, how does this all work?
Yeah, cool. So I guess we'll get started. Yeah, so my name's Alex Martin. This is Zach Nichols. We are doing Naho Tene next week. How we kind of do it is just throw some suggestions to you guys. You can give us some things, and then we'll just play a song based off those suggestions. It'll probably have some beautiful, beautiful guitar going on like it is right now. And then we'll see what happens after that. So, how the show is going to work is that I'm going to be playing a kind of pretentious singer-songwriter who's under the impression that everybody already knows their music. So I'm going to phrase the question like this. So, I wrote this song when I was going through a lot of things, but really, at that time, I just got a job as a
lawyer.
I was, I'd just gotten that, despite the fact that I'd spent a good 5 to 7 years grinding out my degree and everything and going through all those processes. And sometimes you feel a really big something about being a lawyer.
Money coming in, and
to follow the Lord. Yeah. Calvin.
Yeah, I was going through a lot when I wrote that song. Mostly large thoughts of my career and how I wanted things to go. Yeah, I was drawing a lot of inspiration from sort of Coldplay and Passenger, maybe. Yeah, what a time. What a time to be alive that was. Yes. So this next song is a little bit closer to heart, a little bit closer to Puku perhaps as well. When me and Zach flew to Australia many years ago, we realized how much we miss home. Home's important to a lot of people. And certainly it's important to me. Zach, do you agree?
Yep.
That's a nod from Zach. So this one is about that concept of being really close to that member of family. Just remind me what member of that family is.
Stepmother.
Drunk stepmother. So sometimes the closest family you have is your drunk stepmother. And what better thing to write a song about? And when I played this to my drunk stepmother, she broke down crying. And I don't mean to, you know, hype the song up too much, but kia rite, get ready. it's about to happen. This was also when I was really, really experimenting with being bilingual. And e tuhi ana I te reo Māori ka... ke whakarāke I tia e ngā waiata to write into reo Māori to adorn the songs. Beautiful, I know. So this one goes out to Nina, my drunk stepmother.
Thank you.
this song, 'cause it has all the feelings in it that I've been feeling all along. I get really emotional when I play this song. It makes me feel like I want to hear a Peruvian flute. So deeply in my soul. Thanks, Nina. So here we are, listening to these two people play. I don't know how much time it's been. I'm feeling like we could do one more song. Feeling an inspiration to do one more song. So everybody always has that, you know that feeling when you've been walking along the beach for a long time, and you start to think really deeply about that one thing that's just a little bit askew in your life. Does anyone know that feeling and what exactly that askew thing is?
Too busy.
We've all been there, and when we wrote the album, oh gosh, my life is busy. This was sort of the most successful song that came off of it, and people were singing this in the streets. That beautiful famous hook, "I'm too busy," and what better name to give the song than the hook? Really, I think, inspired a generation. So here it is.
tripped over a stump, a tree stump in the ground. I yelled at it, I said, "You're a piece of ick. You shouldn't be round here. Who put you there anyway?" I got up and I had to go on with the rest of my day. You know what they say,
top 100 in Lithuania.
Thank you so much. That was Naho Tene. That was Alex and Zach. That was a beautiful performance, all improvised. Well, no, off your very hit album in good old Lithuania.
Sorry, yes. So hit.
I was almost too busy to hear that come on the radio. But
that's just how life is these days, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Up next, we've got Man Ray, lovely, lovely room. Stick around and we'll have a chat. You're listening to Radio 1 91 FM. That was Naho Tene before doing the live to air. Thank you so much, Zach and Alex, for joining us.
No problem. Great to be here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cool. So the three songs you did, there was the one about being a lawyer. How did you said that felt a bit Coldplay-ish? Was that?
Yeah, I don't know. Halfway through singing that, I was like, what is this vibe? Where are we?
I don't know.
It just really felt like a little bit like a churned out acoustic pop song that maybe like a big band decided they were like, oh, you we should what? Do one acoustic song on our album.
I was hearing some 660 in it, is what I was.
Okay, interesting.
I had a couple of lines. I'm like, this sounds like, what's that one song? Don't forget your roots.
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon?
There was just one line I was doing. I was like, hold on, that's the bit from.
Oh,
from
you
that
were
one
actually
song.
Playing.
Yeah.
So not.
Not on purpose. Not, yeah.
When you come into each of these songs, do you kind of have some chord progressions laid out for how it's going to work, or does it just kind of...
Not really. I mean, when I start a song, I usually do some sort of riff that's going to be basically a bass line in terms of, like, what chords. And then Zach is so brilliant that I can usually play something and he's like, oh, we're doing this? Cool. Whereas when Zach plays something, I have to, like, super hard focus at what he's playing. So I can be like,
E minor, G.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of like there's so many chord progressions that we've all heard before.
Mm.
And, like, if it's a group of four chords, you can usually latch onto it pretty easily.
Yeah.
It's when it's more than that, I get carried away sometimes.
Yes, Zach gets very carried away. But if you're a musician who's jammed a lot, it's basically doing that.
Mm.
But you're writing the lyrics at the same time as well. And, yeah. There's a lot of communication going on with eyes and music, really. Yeah.
Do you kind of, when you go into a song, is the point comedy, is the point to make people laugh or to wow the audience? Like, what's kind of, what do you kind of go into hoping for?
I think personally, it's one going through my head, I'm like, well, I need to do this song about the thing that's just been suggested. So that's like the main thing. And then the second thing is trying to make it sound like a good song.
Yeah.
And having some variance in it, even though sometimes you can have a really good song that stays in the same chord progression for the whole song. I like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think, Zach?
I mean, I don't do the talky stuff. I don't have to sing, so I just find it amazing that that's possible. I think improv singing is always going to be a little bit funny because, you know, you're not always caught up to your words while you're saying them, so some weird stuff will always come out.
Yeah, and the temptation to rhyme something, even if the rhyme makes no sense at all, is very strong, so... That's always going to end up being a little bit corny.
And there's kind of something about, like, a very sincere-sounding song about a drunk auntie.
Yeah.
You know?
I quite liked how you rhymed mahi with fried D.
That was very clever. Yeah. Ka tahi te koi. So clever. I think, I love doing that kind of stuff as well, because it... One, it's kind of like a guaranteed laugh because people are like, that was stupid. But I think that's the joy of it as well. I think people are always going to end up laughing because even the concept itself of doing it is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know what to do but laugh. And also, I think I'm inspired a lot by comedy musicians, so that probably comes out a little bit in the way that I perform as well.
Do you ever write a song on stage and you're like, oh my god, I need this, like, I need a recording of this, what do I say, how can I recreate that?
It's really good that live session just got recorded because we've yet to have something recorded. But, you know, there's that argument of, wow, that was really great and it existed in the moment and now we're on to the next thing.
The etherealness of it.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
I've done quite a bit of improv music stuff before and it's never as good listening back to it as it is in the room, is one side of it. Like, the fact that it's improvised gives you a lot more leeway, I think.
Yeah.
Not that the songs were bad, that's not what I'm trying to say.
No, there's an interesting thing that happens sometimes where people go, like, you can't have made that up. It was like, I reckon you guys practiced that. And you're like, it feels a little bit like an insult because you're like...
if we'd practiced, really hope that we could come up with something a little tighter.
Definitely.
But that, and yeah, maybe it's a compliment in a way as well.
Definitely. I've felt a similar tension in that when I was watching the performance, I was like, oh wow, I can't wait to re-listen to this. But then I was like, wait, I'm here, I'm lucky enough to watch this moment unfold in front of me. Like, it did actually, there definitely was that ethereal kind of part of being in the moment as it comes out, which I really came to enjoy. You two came to this room equipped with two guitars, two amazing minds, and one Peruvian flute. Could you tell me about that, Zach?
Well, my mum volunteers at the Red Cross shop near the big car wash at the bottom of Stafford Street.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, and yeah, basically, it's gotten to the point where anytime anything musical comes in, they just put it aside for her to see if she wants it first. So she just keeps coming home with a bunch of random stuff for me. It's really fun. I had to do a lot of research to figure out what it was, but I'm very new to the instrument.
Yeah.
This is my first time playing it live for people.
I feel honoured.
Yeah, I like
it. Hei mihi tēnei ki ngā tangata no Peru. Yeah, appreciations to the people of Peru.
Oh, it's lovely. It's called a kena flute, or probably just a kena. Q-U-E-N-A, that's how you spell it. Yeah, it's just got a really nice, deep, warm tone to it.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of...
And that song was a big breaking of the fourth wall.
Yeah.
you're telling me to do it.
Non-effective communication method for the middle of a song. It's just pick up your flute, Zach. But it was beautiful.
Yeah. I will probably play it in... Well, I will play it in the show, as well as I'll bring my recorders along. Well, one recorder probably. I have a really nice, like, wooden recorder that also got donated to that op shop.
And kind of the mix of both English and Te Reo Māori into the performance, is that kind of a natural thing? Does it just come out, or what kind of propelled that move?
Yeah, well, I really know Ngāti Tuwharetoa ahau, kia mōhio ai. So I'm from Ngāti Tuwharetoa, just so people know that.
Yeah.
And also no Inarangi Airani, ko te rano ko tūpuna, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Pākehā. And I've been on my reo journey for a good lifetime, but also really strongly in the last 6 or 7 years, and there's something Timothy Karetu said maybe vaguely recently, which was something along the lines of Waipuketia te whenua ki te reo Māori, to flood the land with te reo Māori. And I think I saw this opportunity. Me and Zach have for a long time wanted to do this kind of gig, but I thought, why not flood Otupotsi with some reo Māori in this fringe festival, and as also a challenge to us and a challenge to the general public, perhaps. One thing I'd like people to know, who, if they're thinking of coming, is that you don't need to understand te reo Māori. Me te hunga e mōhio ana ki te reo Māori, e hari te mea me mārama koe i te reo inerangi. Also, if you speak Māori, you don't need to understand English to come. But as is very common, everyone who speaks Māori usually knows how to speak English as well. I think it's a bit of a celebration of bilingualism / te reo Māori in general, and getting some stuff out there in the public. Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love that. Flood, ooty, booty.
Yeah, with language.
With language. With language.
Yes.
As I said that came out a lot worse. So, just sorry, South Dunedin. It has been absolutely a pleasure having you two on. I really appreciate it. You can go to Pearl Diver to see Nahō Tēnei's performance for the Fringe Festival next week on the 17th, 18th and 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
get your tickets from the Fringe Festival website.
Yeah, and check out the event on Facebook to see which band is playing on which night as well.
Yes, good. It's good to have a variety of different closes to kind of bring every night to a wrap, make and you
keep,
more different.
Keep the party rocking.
Have we said which band?
We've
got Francisca
Griffin and the Bus Shelter Boys on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we've got the Something Quartet. Mm. And on Saturday, we have Tiny Pieces of Eight.
Beautiful.
Three of my favourite bands in Waterpotty.
Yeah, and how many members are in this quartet?
Oh, the Something Quartet. anywhere up to five. We're going to have three this time. They don't quite like being a quartet. It's just a fun name.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
like using an acronym for like a company name that doesn't have any kind of thing that means, it just sounds epic.
Exactly.
Like, it just sounds good. Anyway, thank you so much.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.